If you will, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, we're talking about the preeminent Christ. He certainly is King. He's the head of the body. Colossians 1, verse 18. But I want you to notice a recurrent theme that you find in these first couple of chapters. It begins with the Apostle Paul. Obviously, with his normal greeting to the congregation, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love that you have for all saints. And this is what he says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And of this you've heard before the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you indeed in the world, in the whole world, and it is bearing fruit and increasing, and as it also does, he says, since the day that you heard it. Now you notice to begin with, he says, because of that hope that is laid up. I want you to notice then at the end of chapter 1 in verse 27, he makes this statement. He says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he begins to talk about that hope once again. And Christ is that hope of glory. And so when you get down into chapter 2, you'll find there in verse 5, rather, verse 6, he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I mentioned also Sunday morning that we would be doing some lessons that are themed around the idea of being thankful. We should be thankful unto God. And he says you should be abounding in thanksgiving. Why? Because of the things that you're taught, that you have been taught. And notice then that connection that he's made. You have received Christ. How did you receive Christ? By the things that you were taught. In other words, the implication is that you would do those things which you were taught. And then you would walk in him, that you would be rooted in him, that you would be built up in him, that you would be established in that faith. Paul wrote elsewhere that we gain that faith by the word of God. And he says here, as you were taught. Same idea. Abounding in thanksgiving. Then we talk about the idea of receiving. There's a lot in the religious world say, well, I completely agree with that. You have to receive Christ. And they'll go on and talk about you have to receive Christ into your heart. Well, we've already noticed how that happens. He says, as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. But then he goes on to explain it even further. Notice verse 12 in the same chapter. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, and by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. What would be the legal demands? Well, that we would receive payment for those things done. Well, that's what Paul would say to the Romans. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so he would explain, but Christ has canceled that record of debt that stood against you. Christ has made you alive. You were dead, now you're alive. Therefore, you have hope in having received Christ. How so? By being buried with Christ in baptism, as he states there in chapter 2 and verse 12. And so, with this idea of the hope of glory, that hope that he's talking about, receiving Christ, being baptized into Christ, and then he talks about having our sins then essentially washed away, then he tells us then how we should be living our life. And so he would say this, and there's two ifs that are used later in chapter 2, in verse 20. If with Christ you died, he says, to the elemental spirits of the world. In other words, you died to the way of the world. You died to those things. He says then, why are you still, why is at, let me start over. Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to these regulations that have been imposed upon you as such? Do not handle, do not taste, and so forth. And so he's talking about those things, and they have the idea of will worship is all that it will bring you, but it has no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And so he says, if with Christ you died, then he gives an explanation. And then he says in chapter 3 in verse 1, if with Christ, if, in other words, if then you've been raised with Christ, so you died with Christ in that burial and that baptism, now you've been raised with Christ, he tells us exactly what to do. Seek those things which are above. In living our lives, we're to think spiritually. We're to be looking above, looking toward heavenly things. Those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why? Because he's the preeminent one. He is truly king. And so he says, set your minds on things that are above. I think it's interesting that both Jesus and his apostles would teach people that they needed to change the way they were thinking, and as a result, it would change their life. It would change their living, in other words, and change their walk. So he says, set your minds on things which are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also, he says, will appear with him. And here's kind of the circle of it, in glory. Christ is the hope of glory. Look what Christ has done for us. And if we're truly receiving Christ, that means that we've done those things that he has taught. And therefore we're baptized into Christ, into his death, and we're raised to walk in newness of life, looking at Romans chapter 6 and the parallel really to this. And so he talks about if with Christ you've died. Or if you've been raised with Christ, then this is what you do. This is how you continue to live that faithful life in Christ. Why? So that we might know the hope of glory. So that we might have glory, he says, in Christ, in hope. You see, the world's looking for such as that. Hope. We, as Christians, have found it. We need to be telling others of that hope. But not only that, we need to be living in such a way so that others can see that hope and want to experience it, want to have that joy of that hope as well. And so this evening, by way of reminder to us as Christians, we seek those things which are above, not on those things which are on the earth. In other words, spiritual things, thinking about our lives as spirit beings who will live in eternity in heaven, if found faithful. And so this evening, if you have a need, or if we can encourage you in some way, maybe it's the case that you're ready to be buried with Christ in baptism. We'd love nothing more than to assist you with that. And if you believe in Jesus to be the very Son of God, and you'd confess your faith in Christ and repent of sins, you can be baptized, and the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And so if we can help in some way and encourage you, come to the front while we stand, while we sing.